Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Girlfriend's Guide to Sports podcast. My name is Claire Coles, and this is your weekly update. It's Monday, May 15th. Let's start with what you missed over the last week. Then we'll move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. Okay, so I know I am getting this out later than I usually do, but only because it was a super fun weekend for me going back to Big 12's conference championship meet. Oklahoma, we hosted it, so it was a wonderful alumni weekend. So shout out to my fellow Sooners. But as always, let's go and let's start with baseball, because Rockies pitcher Ryan Feltner sustained a skull fracture after a line drive hit his head going about 93 miles an hour. This was in Sunday's game against the Phillies off of Nick Castellano's bat. He has been put on 15-day injured list, but will likely be out longer than that. Feltner does not need surgery, but he does have a concussion, and he was able to walk off the mound on his own after the game. In that same game, Phillies star Bryce Harper charged the dugout and was ejected in the seventh inning. He looked to charge the dugout and go after Diaz, who was the catcher who kind of stopped him after the final out of the seventh inning. And that altercation cleared both benches. The Rockies got the final laugh, though, as they won 4-0. Shohei Ohtani is back in the news and in the podcast again, this time for being the first starting pitcher to make it to base 5 times during a single game. This was actually tonight, Monday night, against the Orioles. That has not happened since 1964 with Yankees pitcher Mel Stoltmeyer. You would think that that would make it an easy win for the Angels as well, but no, they did win 9-5. But while Ohtani made it to base 5 times, he also gave up 5 runs as the pitcher that night. Also, kind of going along the lines of baseball, we're going a little bit of softball news, as it was conference championship week in softball. But we're going to hit on Oklahoma softball, who has now won 43 straight games after beating Texas in the Big 12 championship final. After the semifinals, it was a program record, and the Sooners moved into second all time. Now, they cannot lose 2 more games for the entirety of the season, like tournament, everything. If they lose 2 more games, then they will not be considered the best team in softball history. 1992 UCLA was 54-2, which is a winning percentage of 96.4% of the time. So if the Sooners lose 2 more games, that will knock them out of that percentage. The longest winning streak is currently set at 47 by Arizona back in 1996 through 1997. Of Oklahoma's games, 35 have been decided by run rule and 28 have been shutouts. This week, we also start postseason for softball, so I'll kind of go over how that works in what to watch this upcoming week. We had round 2 is officially closed in the NBA, and let's start with the Heat. Had the early series lead on Monday, winning to make it 3-1, but the Knicks kept their season alive on Wednesday. But the Miami team put it away on Friday night, winning 96-92, so a lower scoring game, to head back to the Eastern Conference Final. In the other half of the East, the Philadelphia 76ers got Embiid back, and it showed in Game 5, with the 76ers winning by 12 to take their first series lead in that matchup. The Celtics won Game 6, though, to force a Game 7 in a lower, again, a lower scoring game, 95-86. The 76ers, though, haven't won a Game 7 since 2001, and the Celtics were the season-long favorite to make it in, so it didn't seem like it was going to bode well for the Philly team. Game 7 was played last night, and it was the only matchup to make it to a final Game 7. Boston put it away easily in the third quarter when the 76ers only scored 10 points total in the entire quarter. Yikes. The Celtics win by 24 to make it a rematch of last year's East Conference Final. Steph Curry might have scored a triple-double on Monday, but it didn't really matter because the Lakers still got the win, going up 3-1 in the series. The Warriors did play a great Game 5 at home, though, to stay alive for a Game 6, but the Lakers ultimately won and advance after leading in every quarter of Game 6. The Lakers started 2-10 this season, so quite a comeback for that team. Call it the LeBron effect, call it whatever you want, but the matchup between LeBron and Steph Curry ended up going LA's way. On the flip side of the Lakers starting out their season really badly, the Nuggets were the other favored team, and after playing with their food a little bit, aka the Suns, the Nuggets get down to business, taking Game 5 by 16 points and Game 6 by 25 points to become actually the first team to advance to their conference final, even though I said them last, they were the first to advance. And in other NBA news, Grizzlies star Ja Morant has been suspended for flashing a gun on social media. Nope, this is not deja vu. He actually did it again. It was quick, and to be frank, it was on a friend's social media, but it was still there. So I'm going to go ahead and hazard a guess that his punishment will be a tad more severe this time, as it is still against team rules. And he doesn't really seem to have grasped the lesson the first time. We do have a little bit of football as well news this week, as the XFL has officially come to a close, and the Renegades, who went 4-6 during the season, upset the 10-1 DC Defenders to win the entire XFL championship on Saturday. The Arlington team won 35-26 and sealed it with an interception with a minute to go. The Renegades first upset the Houston Roughnecks in the divisional championships before moving on to the overall best team from DC. It did not matter. Bob Stoops once again is a championship coach. Two sides of golf this week. We're going to start with the PGA, and a old name that you love seeing at the top of the leaderboard, Jason Day, won his first PGA Tour title since 2018 after capturing the Byron Nelson on Sunday. You could have guessed it was coming since he had been at the top of the leaderboards a little bit more often than lately, but it was still great to see. Day shot 62 for his final round to win with a total score of 23 under par. Se-young Yul No opened with a course record tying 60, but ultimately had a not great second round and gave all of his lead back. You could call it very serendipitous that Day's first PGA Tour title was the 2010 Byron Nelson, and then the only major he has won is the same as the one next week, the PGA Championship. Now, granted, that was back in 2015, but quite serendipitous that both of those happened to fall right around the same time. Moving on to the LIV, as Dustin Johnson won his second LIV title this weekend in Tulsa, he had to overcome a triple bogey during his final round on the 10th hole to do it, and still only made it to a three-man playoff with Cameron Smith and Brendan Grace. Now, Grace set a LIV record low score of 61 in the opening round, which then Cam Smith tied in his final round. This, however, is quite a bounce back for DJ, as he has yet to be within 5 shots of any other LIV tournament all season. So this is all before he heads to the PGA Championship this weekend as well. Moving along to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we have also finished round two. Round two will actually end tonight. It has ended. That's why I said it's over. But technically, that game is on right now. You almost could think that the Oilers would do it after they tied the series at 1-1 and then tied it again at 2-2. But that is where their luck ran out. The Vegas Golden Knights beat the Oilers 5-2 in game six to take the series and advance. The Hurricanes put away the Devils in just five games. Granted, Game 5 actually went into overtime, but looks like that long first round series took it out of the New Jersey team, so the Carolina team advances. The very next night, history repeated itself, but in a different matchup, as the Panthers were able to beat the Maple Leafs in Game 5 in overtime to advance. It could have been a sweep, but the Florida team let the Toronto team snatch Game 4 away by one goal. No harm, no foul this time, though, as that ended their luck very, very quickly. Florida advances. And finally, the Stars versus the Krakens matchup is extremely even, as Dallas tied the series up at 2-2 on Tuesday and then took the lead by taking Game 5. But the Kraken came back to tie it up and take it to a winner takes all Game 7, which is to be played tonight. I am actually going to include some motorsports this time, as this weekend was the 1,000th MotoGP race in Le Mans, where it all started in 1949. It was a great race, too, for those of you who don't normally watch. Of the 21 racers who began, only 13 finished, including world champion from last year and this year's championship leader, Francisco Bagnaia, was taken out. Ducati's Marco Bezzecchi took home the title in this historic race after taking the lead on lap 11. The French were also happy as they hosted the 1,000th MotoGP race, and as Zarco finished third to take the final podium spot. Obviously, you know where I'm going to go with Olympic news this week, as I was obviously, it was conference championship weekend for track and field, and because it would be too long to go through all of the results from even the Power Five, let's just go through who set new NCAA records. And yes, there were multiple, and it is enough to cover. On the men's side, Arkansas triple jump Jaden Hibbert broke a 40-year-old record by a foot, unseating a fellow Razorback with a jump of 17.87 meters. The LSU Tigers set a new 4x100-meter relay record at their home track with a blistering 37.90. Florida also broke the record, but they got second, so too bad, so sad. You are not in the record books. Don't feel too bad for them, though, because the Gators then broke the 4x400-meter record with two legs under 44-second splits. On the women's side, Arkansas standout Britton Wilson, who appeared in both the 400-meter hurdles and the 400, broke the NCAA record in the 400 meters twice, once in prelims and another in the final, with a time that now stands at 49.13. The previous record was by Texas A&M's Athing Moe with a time of 49.57. So what used to be barely breaking 50, now we're almost to breaking that 49 barrier. That is truly insane. NC State's Caitlin Tuohy also broke the 5,000-meter record the week before conference, so it only feels fitting to mention her here as well. Moving over from the SEC to the Big 12, though, UT women broke the 4x100-meter relay record, lowering it under 42 seconds for the first time in history with a time of 41.89 in enemy territory. Again, I told you I was there, so it was in Norman, Oklahoma, hosted by the Oklahoma Sooners, but it was UT that walked away victorious. Needless to say, I will actually go over what teams won, as needless to say, Arkansas won the SEC title in both men and women with all the records they broke. It is no wonder. Texas also won the women's Big 12, while Texas Tech took home the men's title. The Duke women annihilated the rest of the ACC field, while Clemson won by a single point over Florida State, and then there were two other teams that were within 3 points. So it was a tight race in the ACC on the men's side. Washington captured its first ever men's Pac-12 title, while on the opposite side, on the women's side, the old favorite, Oregon, won for the women. And finally, rounding out the Power Five, the Nebraska men showed that they have not given back their track and field dominance, while the Michigan women took it home on their side. We now have a week off before we go into regionals, and then NCAAs will be held at the University of Texas in June. But let's go over what to watch this upcoming week before we get too far ahead of ourselves. Again, starting with the MLB Tuesday, the Cubs at the Astros at 7:10 on TBS. You can catch pitcher Steele versus Javier in that game. Friday, there will be two games on Apple TV+. Saturday, Brewers at the Rays at 3:10 on Fox Sports 1. Then also on Saturday at 6:15 on Fox, you can either catch the Dodgers at the Cardinals or the Mariners at the Braves. On Sunday, you can catch the Yankees at the Reds at 10:35 a.m. on Peacock, and then the Guardians at the Mets at 6 p.m. on ESPN, and that pitching matchup will be Bieber versus Verlander. Oh, man, and this week we have some baseball games to go over, so I'll go over the ranked versus ranked baseball games first, and then I will get into softball. So Thursday, catch baseball number 2, Arkansas, versus number 12, Vanderbilt, at 6 p.m. on SEC. Then catch their second game on Friday. That will be at 7 on SEC Network. Saturday, number 18, Tennessee, versus number 13, South Carolina, at 1 p.m. on SEC Network as well. Like I said, we have started regionals, so postseason for softball. How regionals works is there will be 4 teams in each regional site. There are 16 regions, and of those, there will be 4. Number 1 in the region is the host. They will play 4. Then 2 in the region will play number 3 for the first game. That is the only games that I will have listed with the teams written out in the blog and the podcast, just because after that it gets hazy and they don't even put it on ESPN at this point. So then you will play. It is double elimination and you only advance 1 from each of the regions. Then we go on to super regionals. After that, the final 8 teams go into the College World Series, which is always played in Oklahoma City. So let us go over, and I am going to go over all the matchups on Friday. Again, this is number 1 in the region versus number 4 in the region, and it is double elimination. So Friday, George Mason versus number 8, Duke, at 11 a.m. on ACC. Ole Miss then takes on Baylor at noon on ESPNU. Miami of Ohio takes on Kentucky at noon on SEC. Boston University will play VTech at 1 on ACC Network. UNC Greensboro versus number 16, Clemson, at 2 p.m. on ESPNU. Louisville then plays Indiana at 2 on ESPN2. Notre Dame takes on Oregon at 4 on ESPN2. Then Hofstra takes on the favorite, number 1, Oklahoma, at 4 p.m. on ESPNU. Prairie View has their work cut out with number 10, LSU, at 5 on SEC Network. UCF versus South Carolina at 6 p.m. on ESPN2. Nebraska versus Wichita State at 6 p.m. on ESPNU. Long Beach State versus number 9, Stanford, at 8 p.m. on ESPNU. And then San Diego State versus Liberty on ESPNU at 9 p.m. that night. So then on Saturday, we'll have the other matchups, and you'll play everybody in your region. And like I said, double elimination before you get knocked out. There are literally no teams listed on ESPN, so go check out those times. It's either on ESPN, ESPN2, ACC, SEC Network, as well as ESPNU. So all of those times will be listed. Again, that's all teams TBD basically at this point. So be sure you check the blog for updates there. In the NBA, we go to a lot easier schedule as we don't have any games tonight, but we start the conference finals on Tuesday with the West. Game 1, Lakers at the Nuggets at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. Then you move to the East on Wednesday for Game 1, the Heat at the Celtics at 7:30 on TNT. Game 2 in the West, Lakers at the Nuggets again at 7:30 on ESPN. And then the East, Game 2, Heat at the Celtics at 7:30 on TNT. Then we change locations. So on Saturday, the West Finals, Game 3, it is the Nuggets at the Lakers. So we move to LA at 7:30 p.m. on ABC. And then in the East, Game 3, the Celtics at the Heat at 7:30 on TNT. We do still have the USFL going on. So even though the XFL has ended, USFL is still going. So those games will continue Saturday, Pittsburgh at Memphis at 11:30 a.m. on USA, followed by Birmingham versus Michigan at 3 on Fox. Then on Sunday, New Orleans versus Philadelphia at 11 on Fox Sports 1, followed by New Jersey versus Houston at 3 on Fox. It also is a major championship week for the PGA. So in golf, and again, LIV Tour players are allowed to play. So you will see those familiar names, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, in attendance, even though they play under the LIV Tour. Thursday, catch the PGA Championship Round 1. You can catch that at noon on ESPN. Also, coverage, just so that you know, starts on ESPN Plus at 6 a.m. So if you are up and bright and early and you want to start watching golf, absolutely tune in to ESPN Plus. Friday is Round 2, also at noon on ESPN. Saturday, catch Round 3 at 9 a.m. on ESPN. As well as then we move over to noon on CBS. So same goes for the final round for the PGA Championship. Someone will have another major or a major added to their resume on Sunday. Catch it starting at 9 on ESPN and moving over to CBS at noon. Like I said, for the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, we have Game 7, which, again, was tonight, the Kraken at the Stars at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Then we begin the conference finals on Thursday, East Final, Game 1, Panthers at the Hurricanes at 7 p.m. on TNT. That is assumed because they actually didn't say it was on TNT. Then in the West, Game 1 for Friday, and I'm going to ruin it for you if you haven't already watched, the Stars at the Golden Knights at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. So congratulations to the Stars. Nice to see the Dallas team go through there. On Saturday, East Final, Game 2, Panthers at the Hurricanes at 7 on TNT. And then the West, Game 2, will be the Stars at the Golden Knights at 2 p.m. on ABC. This weekend, we also have a Formula One race as well. That will be at 7:30 a.m. on ESPN 2 on Sunday. And then I didn't find any Olympic sports going on around TV this week. There, like I said, track and field replays will be playing, as well as you'll obviously get tons of softball, but not a ton of other Olympic sports going on. So that wraps it up for me this week. Thank you for indulging in my track and field fandom as I kind of got to go take a stroll down memory lane. But a lot going on with NBA, NHL, softball, postseason, all going on at the same time. You know I got you. Check out the blog, The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports, for more. And I'll catch y'all next week.